Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupodity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gotts, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gotts providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gotts' influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupodity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupodity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Bigger than Oprah. How about that? Subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. Very excited. I have the newest Jets quarterback coming on today. This is very exciting. Captain Morgan. I don't even know his first name. Does he have a first name, Stanzik? I have no idea.
It's Captain.
Captain Morgan. The Jets drafted a quarterback to challenge Sam Darnold for the starting job. And so he played at FIU down here in Miami locally. So I'm excited to have him on. But Brian Koppelman, the executive producer, creator, director of my favorite show, Billions, which season 5 debuts Showtime, 9 Eastern, is going to join us as well. He's a big sports guy. He's a big New York, Long Island guy. We're two peas in a pod. So, Stanzik, not only will you have to deal with me, but you'll have to deal with someone who's exactly like me today, okay? Sorry about that.
And I mean, you're pretty successful. He's way more successful.
He is.
I mean, he's closer to – I mean, I don't think he's that close to being a billionaire, but he's way closer than you are.
Debatable. Listen, you're discounting the days where I would just rip out a page from the phone book and call every Murray at West Palm Beach. You have no idea how much money I made back in those days.
What do you think Calvin makes?
I don't know. I think what you're questioning is that I actually saved the money that I made.
Oh, no, definitely not. Come on.
No, I blew right through it.
Gambling.
Yes, exactly. Take that out.
Leave it in.
Whatever you want. I mean, I don't even care at this point. Now, listen, I grew up in Roslyn. I grew up in Port Washington, Sands Point. Very wealthy, affluent town, Roslyn. I feel like Koppelman has had more success than I have. Although it is debatable. I mean, he had the Connors movie. The 30 for 30 was great.
Billy won an Emmy.
Listen, I might be in the Sports Radio Hall of Fame. So how about that? You think me and Levitar get in eventually or what?
I don't really know how that works. I mean, longevity helps.
Not that I've looked into it or anything, but you have to be together for 16 or 17 consecutive years together. And then someone has to nominate you for the Hall of Fame. So I think we're close to 16 or 17 years. And Stanzik, feel free to nominate us at any point, okay?
Well, I was going to ask, do you need someone that's already in the Hall of Fame to nominate you? Because if so, let's get Greeny back right now.
Yeah, I think I do. Or Golic, either one. I mean, either one. So parts 3 and 4 of the Jordan documentary. Growing up, Jordan didn't say much. I mean, he was politically correct. He didn't want to get into trouble. He didn't say much. He didn't give you much. Oh, is he letting it fly right now? And it is enjoyable to see, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. If you look at his, like, eye color, doesn't it look like he's a little glossed over? His eyes are kind of – there's almost like a yellowish tint to it. Do you think he's hammered high? What do you think it is?
I don't think he smokes. I think he's hammered.
I mean, he smokes cigars.
He smokes cigars, but he's sipping that – I don't know what he's sipping the entire time, but he's clearly getting – whatever it is, it's making him looser and looser as the series goes on. Keep drinking it. Keep drinking it.
I was going to say, you know how in like Space Jam, it was Michael's secret stuff and it was just water? Michael's secret stuff turns out not water. It's alcohol.
Robin was fascinating, right? To you, was that whole portion of it fascinating? That what made Robin so great is you had Jordan, iconic. You had Pippen, iconic. You had this team that had already won 3 titles. Dennis had already won with the Pistons. The Dennis you saw with the Bulls was not the Dennis with the Pistons, okay? He was a totally different guy. But no one in the hit for my money in the history of the NBA, and you love the NBA, Stanzik, could affect a game without scoring a single point the way Dennis Rodman affected all of those games. Insane.
Yeah, no, he was an incredible player and a unique personality, probably one of the biggest stars in sports in the 90s, even though he wasn't one of the most dominant players. He dominated in like one singular category and he was a great defender. I just found it interesting, this whole like, I need a break and I'm going to go to Vegas for 48 hours and it turned into more than 48 hours. How that would have played nowadays, it would have been totally different to how it played back then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no way that's happening, right? Joe, by the way, he said 48 hours, needed a vacation, was burnt out. They were going for the third straight title. Pippen didn't start that year, so Robin did. So Robin was really the number two on that team. And when Pippen finally decided or was getting closer to coming back, Dennis needed a little break. So we went to Vegas, 48 hours, 55 hours into it. He was late, predictably. Jordan went to the room. Carmen Electra was in bed with him. She said that she hid when Jordan came into the room. Jordan grabbed him and brought him back to Chicago and they practiced and they went on to win a title. No, that would not go over well today's NBA standing. LeBron James' first year when he came from, because LeBron James had, you know, he ran amokically. He did whatever he wants. He was Jordan in Chicago at the time. It's the first year big three together, and they're in New Orleans. Chris Paul is still there, and LeBron, after the game, wants to stay in New Orleans to party with his buddy Chris Paul. Chris Paul's having a party. It was a charity event, and he is so used to being able to do so. So he tells Spoelstra, hey, and tells the team, hey, staying here for the night, private jet, I'll meet you in the next city. Spoelstra laughs. He said, oh, yeah, well, did you ask Riley? And LeBron's like, I'm LeBron. I don't ask anyone. I'm just, this is what I'm doing. Spoelstra said, I suggest you ask Pat. And the story goes that he called Pat. He informed Pat of his plans. Pat said, get your f***ing ass in the team, play, and go to the next city with your team. That's it. Oh. There is no more parties with Chris Paul, and you meet us in a private jet. You're in a new place now. You wanted to win titles. This is how we win titles. You want to do it the Cleveland way, go back there. You want to do it the Heat way, you get on the plane with your teammates. You go to the next city. How about that?
Love that. Riles.
You got goosebumps. You like that. So, no, Vegas would not happen today. Dennis Robin, no, the whole notion of that would not happen. So, perhaps we'll do our all-time Knick team with compliment.
Ooh.
Well, he's a big Knick fan, so we created billions. All right, let's do it. With that said, I think, Stantic, I'm about to meet my best friend, Kindred Spirit. I'm about to meet Brian Koppelman, who I'm hoping by the end of this I will have convinced him to make me the star of billions.
Stupidity!
I got to be honest with you. I'm already outraged. I mean, I am already mad at Koppelman. This is amazing. You tweeted out this whole thing. You know, I follow you on Twitter, the whole Royale. I was explaining that to him. We'll get to it in a second. You said you're doing a bunch of podcasts, which set me off because, I mean, you're making the round. I thought you were exclusive to me. And then you tweeted out your story with your good friend, Bomani Jones. You never mentioned me. What's going on here?
Here's the big advantage Bomani has over you.
He's interesting?
I mean, among the many, the myriad advantages Bomani has. I hang out with him a lot and we talk all the time. So he's going to get the love. He's just going to get the love right away. But now that you and I are actually in person, now the love is going to be all on you. Plus, we are from the same, I mean, we grew up 10 minutes from each other.
We did, yeah. You grew up in Roswell, and I grew up in Port Washington, and we'll get to that in a second. But I want your love. Like, I want it exclusively to me, okay? Like, that's my domain, okay?
No, I don't think it's going to happen. No.
But I love your show. What are you talking about?
Thanks, man. I love what you do. I'm a big fan. I'm a fan.
I know you are, but it seems like you're a fan of every sports radio show. I mean, you're on with Simmons, I'm feuding with him. I mean, this is ridiculous. I don't know what to do here, compliment. I got to be honest.
Well, again, some of these, well, I'll say this. Some of those people, they got on record. Like Simmons, you're right. I think you're right to be pissed that I would also talk to Bill, other than the fact that literally Bill and I have been friends and he's been talking about my shit for 20 years. So, like, if I have to just hang up on this but stay loyal to Bill, that's the way it's going, my man.
Brian Koppelman with us here on Stupidity Season 5. It's certainly in my top five of all-time shows.
Thanks,
season
man.
5
Thank
of Billions debuts Showtime Sunday, May 3rd, 9 Eastern. It's brilliant, man. I'm happy for you. It's such a big hit. When did you know? And we'll get to Roswell. We'll get to New York Stands. We've got to do our all-time Knicks team.
I'm in. Let's do it. I'm ready.
We wanted to do it. When did you know, Brian, when did you know you had a hit in Billions? Because I am not mincing words. When I say, listen, it's right in my wheelhouse. Stanzik has not seen it. But I will tell you, you were responsible for three of my favorite, I guess, movie slash TV shows, okay? Rounders, which Stanzik loved, all right? Stanzik is a movie buff, loved it. The Jimmy Connors 30 for 30 for me is okay. A top five 30 for 30. And, of course, what you've done here with Billions. So you were responsible for three, I think, of my like, top 15 movie slash TV shows of all time. Man. How about that?
Well, it's all me and my partner, my lifelong best friend, David Levine, who grew up in Great Neck. So you were right between where I grew up and where Levine grew up. And, yeah, I love hearing that the stuff hits you like that. You know, when we started out, Dave and I, all we really wanted to do at the beginning, any artist, anyone who does the thing that we do, in the beginning, you're really basically writing for people who have similar experience to you in a certain way at first, right? For us, we grew up loving movies like Stripes and Diner. Yeah. And the way we would watch those movies over and over again, we just wanted to create shit that people could watch over and over again and would quote to their friends. And, you know, the fact that we were able to do that and then expand it. And as we grew as people, as we grew as artists, then the people we were, you know, who we'd hope would get the stuff expanded too. But you're right in the wheelhouse, man. I mean, if a guy with your set of interests growing up where you grew up wasn't into our shit, we would have really been
right. I'm the core demo, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen, you tapped in the money with Billions. You tapped in the gambling with Rounders. You tapped into just being a dope with Jimmy Connors. I mean,
that was amazing. You know, I grew up, I don't know how often you went to the U.S. Open when you were a kid, but I worked there as a kid.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I worked there when I was, I guess the summer after 10th, summer after 11th, summer after 12th or something like that. 11th, 12th, maybe freshman year of college. 3 years I worked at the Open.
Right.
And so I had this serious bond with the place. And the first year I worked there, they would give you this pass where you'd badge your way in. And then if you were like at all able to talk to people, you could kind of become friends with some of the guards in those early weeks, like in the practice rounds. And early weeks, and I kind of had run of the place, and I found ways to sneak. You know, you would learn, well, that guy goes to lunch at this time, and you could sneak under and then sit in like these special VIP seats on the court. Or so that place really had a huge impact on my and on me as a teenager. I was playing a lot of tennis then and competitively, and then I was around that place. And what Jimmy represented, I was a McEnroe fanatic, but what Jimmy represented was just so amazing to us, you know, his fierce commitment to winning. And if you look at Rounders and if you're just the things that you're talking about, Rounders, Connors and Billions, you know, you see a type of person growing up where we grew up, man, you know, these men who were able to self mythologize, who were able to tell you who they were and tell you their place in the world as they saw it. And then were able to force of will make that shit happen. We would growing up watching these kind of people in awe of their confidence, in awe of the way, you know, everyone knew they were probably con men in a certain, but it didn't matter. They could walk into a room and own it. And we were always fascinated by that type. And then you had someone like Jimmy who just had this attitude where, and you know, like Bobby Axelrod or Chuck Renzo, who just didn't give a what people thought of him. He was going to win.
Right.
You know what? If you like me and I win, that's fine. If you hate me and I win, maybe that's even better. I'm just going to win. And that idea, what it takes to be someone like that, you know, I could never be that exact guy. I care too much about being like decent, but there's something about people who don't care about being decent that you can't take your eyes off of them, especially when they come through on the thing that they promise they're going to come through on the way that Jimmy Connors did, the way that Bobby Axelrod and Chuck Rhodes do.
Yeah, I'll tell you a fun story here. As we've pointed out already, you're Roslyn, your partner's Great Neck. I was Port Washington Tennis Academy, which I'm certain you're familiar with, is where all the big guys played. But so I lived like four houses down. I was telling Christopher Mandel Russo this story because, you know, he loves tennis. And so four houses down, we used to hear me, my brother, my friends, we used to hear this kid in the backyard pounding tennis balls. I mean, just pounding them four houses down. And we were like, my guy grunting and screaming and yelling and cursing at the top of his lungs. And I lived four or five houses down from Tony Palafax.
All right. Palafax, who was the great coach of McEnroe and all those people back then.
Yeah. So Tony had it. It was a very wooded area. So me and my friends were dying to know who was back there making those sounds. Who was this kid? You could just tell from the sounds that he was hitting the tennis balls hard as, as possible. And so we snuck kind of through the woods and we got right up to the gate. It was a gated tennis court, and there's Palifax hitting balls with not just John and Patrick, Brian. And so I would get I got to watch the Macaros practice. They had no idea I was watching them for years. It was great.
How old are you?
I want to say I was 9 or 10 years old at the time, maybe a little bit.
How old are you now?
Oh, I'm 47 now.
Right. So I'm 8 years older than you or something. So, you know, Patrick and I are like the same age. And so he and I we knew a bunch of the same people. He was a different league than me in tennis, but like he was a good basketball player too. And he would play against guys that I knew. And John was this older figure who we were just all in awe of. You know, he was like a god to us.
Yeah, he was fantastic. I was explaining, by the way, happy birthday. It's your 54th yesterday, correct?
Thanks, man. Thank you. Yeah.
You got it. 50. You're looking great, 54, man. Listen, I feel like Santa. Who looks older, me or Koppelman? I mean, I'm 47. He's 54. I feel like I look a lot older than Koppelman. He's in better shape than I am.
Yeah, not only do you look older, you look more disgusting. I mean, Brian's a little more well kept. the mustache is great. You just look gross. You know, that's kind of your thing.
I appreciate that. The Royale, which I love, I was explaining to him. Why don't you explain the phenomena on Twitter that is now known as the Royale?
Yeah.
The first cup of coffee.
I'd love to. Well, yeah, I decided the first cup of coffee, a long time ago, I decided that the first cup of coffee of the day was so special that it deserved a special name. So I started calling it the Royale. Sometimes I would mention it on my podcast, The Moment with Brian Koppelman. I would mention the Royale. And then once in a while, occasionally, I would take a picture and be drinking it online. But a friend of mine who's online said to me, during this time when everyone's at home, don't you think it might be nice if people shared pictures of themselves? Don't you think they'd get something out of the connection? And I thought that was a great idea. So then I said, hey, good morning. Let's connect. Even though we're alone, let's share our first cup of coffee together. And then another guy on Twitter said, hey, we should make mugs that have a picture of you, say the Royale, do it for charity. I said, that's great. And the third guy designed the mug and just did it for free. And so it became this whole Twitter thing where I was doing something and then all these people in my community on there decided to take ownership over it. And I sell the mugs at theroyalebk.com. All the proceeds go to the Food Bank of New York, which is an incredible charity. And now every morning, I mean, you see it. I get hundreds of people taking pictures of themselves, drinking their morning coffee and sharing it. And I get these letters and notes from people about how it makes their day feel less lonely. And what I love about it is I didn't intend any of it. I had no plans to do any of this. I literally just like coffee so much that I was like, I don't want to just say a cup of coffee. I want to call it something special. And then all these people started calling it this also. And yeah, it's been awesome. It's been an awesome way to connect with people and share something in this time where we're all isolated and disconnected. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's the first cup of coffee because the first cup of coffee is the best cup of coffee, and you're constantly chasing that coffee high the rest of the day.
You're chasing it. Yes. You're chasing it all day. Yeah. Jim Rome does a great thing where he talks about – this was years ago. He talks about the first hot dog and how great it is and how – you have that first bite of the first hot dog at the bar when you're, you know, grilling. And he's like, and it's amazing. And you convince yourself the second one is going to be kick ass. And he goes, and you fake your way through it. But it is true. That first hot dog, nothing's like that. And nothing is like that first cup of coffee in the morning.
Rum also said that hot dogs were worse for you than cigarettes.
I love Romy, but he says a lot of things. He's got to fill a lot of time. I mean, you understand how much time he has to fill, man.
If anyone understands it,
it's you.
What it's usually the way we do it with the filling of the time is that time is usually filled at my expense. But the Royale,
and you guys have a crew. Romy has to do it by himself, basically.
I know. It's so hard to do this stuff by yourself. But Rome's excellent at it. Colin Cowherd's excellent at it. The Royale to me, okay, I'm going to put this in terms that Stanzik, perhaps you'll understand it, okay? Maybe you will, maybe you won't. In fact, Stanzik, I know you well enough to know you won't, but our audience will.
Okay.
Stanzik, it's like the first bong hit of the day, okay? It will never get better than the 60 minutes after the Royale bong hit, first one of the day, yet we'll chase it. Brian, it's a similar concept, correct?
The Royale B, but can you, that's what that is, the Royale B. Stu Gotz, can you take a bong hit and then do the radio show?
I cannot. I can't. I can't do it.
Yeah, I can't. I can't really smoke weed, man. At this, at like where I am and the things I have to do. I mean, I'm not against weed at all, and I've in my lifetime smoking enough. But I just don't. I can't do it anymore, really.
Right. I understand. So what do you do when you hang out with Bomani? I mean,
Bomani. I'm not in charge of whether Bo smokes weed.
Wait, no. Listen, Bo's a good friend. I can say that about him, and he'll laugh. I think. I hope.
Bo's a grown-up. He can do whatever he wants. Even when I was young, you know, dude, I was in the record business and I never did blow in my life. And, you know, you just learn how to roll with it. If someone else is doing some crazy shit around you, you just roll with what they're doing. But, you know, you can – the whole thing is you can just hang if you're non-judgmental to people, right? Doesn't matter. You just hang and let them do what they do.
Yeah, no, totally. I can't – there's no way I could do that and then come do the show. But I would imagine for you and your line of work, writing, directing, that perhaps it would help, right, with ideas, creativity, maybe. I don't know.
But what's the slope of that whole thing, really? Like when you play that out, what's day three?
You're chasing day one.
Right. I mean, you know.
Wait, so how do you go? So the record business, you started off there. And what happened in the record business that brought you over to the television movie business?
You know, it was just the realization, man, that this is what I was supposed to be doing. You know, I was good at that job. I had success in that job. And I love music. And obviously, if people watch Billions, music's a super important part of the show, the way we use music, the way we use songs. And I've been a fanatic my whole life for music. But it just became clear to me that I wasn't going to be happy. And I wasn't – what really, you know, happened was we had our first kid, and I realized I would want to tell my kid to live his dreams, and I wasn't. And it would make me a liar, and I'd be a bitter person. I wouldn't be the dad I wanted to be. And the thing I wanted to do was try to be the artist, you know, not just be around him and help him. And so that shift had to happen for me to try to be a better, just a better person, really. Cause you know that feeling when you're not going after the thing you know you want to do, it can make you jealous and bitter of people who are. And I didn't want to live that way. And I didn't quit my job or anything like that. I think that people put themselves into a real problem when they put so much pressure on themselves. All I did was find a half hour, 45 minutes a day at first to write in the mornings. And for me, I had this idea that if you wrote a page a day, it's 300, you know, over 300 pages in a year. And if you took off Sundays, and I just realized that if I did something every day, I could sort of shift the direction of my life. And then of course, it turns out as soon as I started doing the writing way before it was successful, when it was getting rejected, all of it, I already felt better. I felt better just doing the work that made me feel alive. And that was the big sort of distinction and change for me in my life.
Dan always talks about how dark writing is, how lonely writing can be, how hard writing can be. Did you experience that? I'm certain you still have experiences with that, right?
Well, you listen, right? If you're a writer, you're failing a lot of your day, a lot of your life is about failure, not getting the sentences the way you want them, not conveying this sort of feeling you have in your head. Your body, you want to get this feeling out. And then sometimes you look at it and you're like, that's not what it should be. But as you become really a professional at writing, it's not that it gets easier. It's that you start to have the faith that you'll get it there. You learn how to rewrite. You learn how to show up every day and produce work. And then for me anyway, it creates momentum. And then once I have that momentum, I'm not thinking about the failure part so much. I'm just accepting that as part of what's going on is sometimes it's not quite going to get there, but then I'll find a way to get it there by the time it has to be there. And, you know, you just try to reduce the pressure on yourself. You try to reduce the emotional cost as much as you can.
Brian Koppelman with us here on Stupidity, co-creator, executive producer, Billion, season 5 of Billion debuts on Showtime Sunday, May 3rd, 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm so excited. The ending of season 4, just amazing. And I don't want to give too much away, but I am wondering here, when did you know you had a hit on your hands with Billions? Was there a moment for you where you were like, man, this thing is f-ing good?
I knew it was good. I knew we had made the thing we tried to make, right? That's the first sort of hard step is, does this reflect what you're trying to do? So I knew we had made the show we wanted to make. But then as people started reacting the first couple of weeks it was on the air, and as they started getting the jokes and understanding the tone of it, yeah, you know, you start feeling it like everywhere. I mean, it was one of those weird things, like it exploded that first season, and kind of like anywhere I went, people were throwing lines at me, man. So I knew like, oh, this is resonating.
What's the line they were throwing at you? Do you remember?
Well, first season, Well, first season, it was either the fuck you money thing or it was the thing about, or it was the thing about, you know, ass to mouth that Wags goes into that whole huge ass to mouth run early on in the first season. I mean, people really were responding to that too.
But you know what you did? You nailed it, Stancy. You got to watch the show. I know we talked about it yesterday, and you said everyone's telling you how great it is. No, but it is that great.
Do you realize what they pay me? I don't have Showtime. I can't afford this stuff.
Oh, get out of here.
Yes, you can. Free for a month right now. Free for a month to get Showtime to catch up on Billions. And I think my podcast listeners, if they put in Moment, get to do it. Get to do it. So there you go. Come on. Wow, let's go, Stancy.
Okay. Oh no, Stanley would love it. And he would absolutely, he would love it. But you nailed it down to like the name of the characters, like Bobby Axelrod. Like you just, like I'll tell you what, when I knew that I was watching something that I loved was the moment that Bobby is addressing the entire 9/11 had already happened. Bobby has taken over this company. One of the wives makes a comment to Bobby as he's handing out college tuition. And then Bobby's wife sits down with her after that conference room meeting and threatens the lady whose husband had died in 9/11, by the way, and was a part of the company. And she threatens him. And I turned to my wife and I said, this is so f***ing awesome. I will never stop watching the show. As long as Koppelman keeps producing and directing episodes like this, I will never stop watching it. You nailed it first episode for me, man.
Well, yeah, Levine and I, you know, have studied these people and thought a lot about them. And that was one of the, so yeah, there are definitely moments like that on set. Like I remember when we were shooting that scene, Ann Mollen gave that performance and the actress in that scene is Patrick McEnroe's wife. The woman June who speaks up is Melissa Eric, who's Patrick McEnroe's wife. And yeah, that was one of those moments where I knew, okay, this has the stuff. You know, sometimes it just has the stuff.
Did you guys shadow? I'm wondering, did you shadow billionaires in preparation for the show? A billionaire? And if so, who'd you guys shadow?
We don't really talk about who, but we did spend time at a bunch of different hedge funds and we spoke to a few different hedge fund managers and U.S. attorneys. Yeah, we're research heavy, man. Like when we did rounders, we lived in the poker clubs. You can't really write about these kind of people, or we can't. Maybe someone more talented than I am can, but we can't write about them without knowing how they think and how they talk and stuff. So that's a big part of it, you know, and we still do it. We're still talking to those people all the time. We're still picking their brains about the world.
Brian Koppelman with us, co-creator, executive producer, Billion season 5, fantastic show. Debuts Showtime Sunday, May 3rd. At 9 p.m. Eastern. Is this Jordan documentary getting, is f***ing with your plans, isn't it, man? What the hell's going on here?
Well, the nice thing is that Billions will be out. It always comes out at 12:01 the night before it airs. And we're totally happy with people. Look, the way people watch shows now, they'll watch it all week long. And that's been the case for the whole run of the show. You know, a nice number of people will watch it at 9 o'clock. On Sunday night. And I'd say this is my strategy. If I'm, and I haven't missed a moment of the Jordan show, but the Jordan show has commercials and Billions doesn't. So it's perfect. Tape the Jordan show, DVR the Jordan show, watch Billions, and then watch the two Jordans back to back. And just then you can blow through the commercials.
I like that. That's a good strategy. I'm going to do exactly that as a matter of fact.
That's what you should do. I love the Jordan show. I understand. I'm a lifelong obsessed basketball fan. So.
I have so many questions, so we're going to have to do some more of this next week. In fact, I will have you on every week and promote every episode if you'd like to do that. And eventually I'm going to ask you to get in an episode in season 6, if that's possible. But we'll
right have- after Bomani.
Yeah, well, okay, that's fine. And Simmons. I mean, and every other podcast you're going on, compliment. Do you want to do the Knicks team together? Do you want to do that together? You want to do it with me and Santa?
I'm happy to talk about the Knicks, the all-time Knicks team. I think about, this is something I've thought about a lot. I didn't know we were going to talk about it, but obviously this is something that my son and I have a 24-year-old son. We've spent 24 years talking about this. So,
okay.
Yeah, right. But I mean, are we going to really talk about Richie Guerin? Like, I didn't really see Richie Guerin play, so
no,
like,
no.
How am I going to do that?
I think the way Stanzik and I have been doing it is we're just basing it off of people that we've seen play when we do our all-time team. So, like, I mean, Stanzik, who would be your head coach, all-time Knick head coach?
There's only two options. It's either Red Holtzman or Pat Riley. Pat Riley's got a better winning percentage, but he's only there for 4 years. Red Holtzman was there for the two titles, so you're going to go with Holtzman.
Yeah, Holtzman was like a smart enough guy that he probably could have. If he had all the metrics and the tools, he probably could have hung with it. Though, yeah, honestly, if you could pick one of those two guys to coach the team, you'd pick Riley.
Of course you would.
So I think we got to go with Riley. With that said, I mean, for the guards, though, I would say, like, we could talk about Michael Ray Richardson and Ray Williams. We could talk about Mark Jackson as the one who has the real argument. But the truth is Clyde and Pearl are the best two guards that ever played for the team.
Okay.
Agreed. And I'm going
to Scott, do you disagree?
No, I absolutely agree. And if you want to put them there, I'm fine with that, even though I was, you know, I never really saw them play, but I'm fine putting those.
See, I saw them play. That my first memory.
So that works.
My first memory is my dad taking me to the Garden to see Pearl. Like, that is the first thing I remember in the world is my dad taking me to the Knicks to see Pearl play. Who would the other guards be in the conversation? Obviously, Mark Jackson. Who else?
Mark Jackson. Starks is unfortunately probably in that conversation. Starks,
he's going to get in there for the shooting guard conversation. If we're just doing point guard, I think it's Clyde or Pearl. I mean, I know they played together. So if we wanted to put one
but
of
I think Pearl
guard,
is the two, but Pearl's the two.
Really, okay. Right? That's
Clyde with the one.
Yes.
Pearl's the two, I think, even though Clyde scored a lot of points.
Right.
This is easier than I thought it would be because we have the coach, we have the backcourt. I think that's consistent.
So are we telling Allen Houston and John Starks to get the hell out of here?
Allen Houston's a good one. Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I think actually if you played 2-on-2 with Earl and Clyde, if we just look at them at their very peak, all four of the guys you just said, I love John Starks. He does not belong in that conversation.
But if he goes 13-19 in that game against the Rockets, then
he's in. But the sad fact, and I know John, like I've played a lot of charity poker with John, and he's a beautiful, sweet dude. I really like John Starks. But if you look at even just what Pearl did in ball, so here, let's just take 1 second and talk about Pearl. Because I don't know if people know, I don't even, Stu Gotsam, and I'm sure you do know this because this is your life, but you know, Pearl was the leading scorer of the NBA for 2 years, and he willingly sacrificed 10 points a game to come and pass the ball to Clyde and be a team player. And it's hard to even imagine somebody being willing to do that now, what he did. The forwards is where it gets difficult. The centers and the center position, right? We could have a long talk about the center position.
Well, let's agree that Bernard King is our small forward.
Yeah,
so it has to be.
But over Carmelo, right?
Yes.
Over Carmelo.
Yes.
So Brian's right. Where it gets tricky is Willis Reed and Patrick Ewing.
Is our power forward going to be Dave DeBuscher, or are we having anyone else in the conversation?
Is it Bob McAdoo the other person you would put in the conversation?
Charles Oakley.
Amari Stoudemire for 5 weeks. Just those 5 weeks, though. I mean,
Amari was a disappointment. But who would the other big forward be? It would be McAdoo, right? He was he scored a lot of points, but he wasn't the Bob McAdoo of Buffalo. Bob McAdoo was totally different. Come on, this has to be impressive to you guys. I'm not even no notes, and you didn't even tell me we were gonna do this. Like, I'm not even a fourth person.
In fact, you're more engaged and excited when we talk about this than you are your own TV show.
Very big deal. But it's a very big deal to me, the best Knick team. But how do you? So go ahead, take it apart. Take apart Willis Reed and Pat.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, Stanzik, you'd also, in today's NBA, Carmelo could be a four if you really wanted to go that way.
Yeah, and we could put Kristaps Porzingis in the conversation, but I don't want to do that either.
Willis Reed provided, I mean, Willis Reed's an all-time great. He also provided the Knicks with maybe the best moment Knicks fans have ever experienced in their life, although I wasn't there for it when he limped out and played a couple of minutes and the Knicks went on to win a title.
Great moment, but as Brian said, Clyde won them that game. He went 36-19-7, I think.
This is iconic, though, we're talking about Willis Reed. So he had one of those iconic moments and a great career. Ewing never had the iconic moment, but did have the great career.
Well, sadly, Ewing's iconic moment was a finger roll that didn't go in.
Yeah, exactly right. Compliment. You should have been a sports radio host, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, believe me, it was in the. I have the mustache for it. That's for sure.
So what are we gonna do, guys? I'm fine putting. So we have DeBuscher at the four, right?
Yeah. Do you think it's Reed? You can make the Reed argument. You can make the Patrick argument. They're both great Knicks.
Well, the way Stanzik and I do it is we have one off the bench. We have one for fun. We apologize to two. So we can put, I'm fine putting Willis as the starting center and Patrick being our sixth man.
It's fair. He's got the two rings. He's got the two rings.
Right. And then who's the one for fun? Just a fun Knick player that we all loved growing up. I don't know, it could be anyone because when you have that team, it doesn't matter.
I'm putting Mark Jackson in there.
Nice. Nah, I might put Ernie Grunfeld. I don't know why.
I like that. I like that. I mean, the thing is about Mark is he is one of the greatest passing point guards who ever played the game. I mean, look at Mark Jackson's stats. It's crazy how smart a basketball player that guy was.
He should be the next Knicks coach, by the way, I think.
I'm in.
Brian Koppelman with us. We have season 5 of Billions. It debuts Showtime Sunday, May 3rd, 9 p.m. Eastern. As I said earlier, top 5 TV show of all time for me, of all time. That's how good it is. Quickly, because Stanzik loves Rounders. I love Rounders. Who doesn't love Rounders? How did that movie, Brian, how did that come together for you guys?
It was in this moment that I talked about where I realized I had to become a writer. And then I walked into a poker club one night, an underground poker club in New York City. I heard the way those guys spoke. I watched the way they talked to each other. And I called my lifelong best friend when I left the poker club. And I said, hey man, I think I know what we're going to write our movie about. And then we started going together. And I mean, I was playing a lot of poker back then, dude. I was playing every day pretty much in sure. these illegal poker rooms and listening and taking notes. And then we just got up early in the morning before work and we met every day and we wrote, like, we just grinded it out and wrote that script.
Brian, was that the first script you guys wrote together?
Yes.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, you talk about how writers fail all the time. Pretty good start for you guys.
Yeah, we were ready. You know, I was 30 years old and we had just gotten to a place in our lives where we were ready. We took it unbelievably seriously. Like, we didn't take it kind of as a lark or like a hobby. Like, we were showing up in the morning to change our lives, to tell this story that we wanted to tell, to change our lives. And we were not kidding around.
All right. Check out season 5 of Billions. I encourage you, if you haven't checked out the first 4 seasons, make sure you do it before May 3rd, because this thing has such a big, it's one of those shows, Brian, as you know, it's hard to watch it the way I've been watching it, because when it goes off live, it's one of those shows that has such a social media following that
yeah.
if you make the mistake of missing it and you're on social media, chances are someone's going to give it away.
I'm on Twitter during the show. I always do a half hour Q&A with the Twitter audience before the show airs. And then I'm on during the thing tweeting. And then, yeah, people tweet about it, always trends at the top. So yeah, get in there, watch it when it's happening and don't let it get spoiled for you. Hey, this was super fun, Stugatsky.
Awesome.
I'll come back in the middle of the season for sure. Thanks, guys.
All right, middle of the season it. And let's work on getting me on an episode here. Okay. How about that? All right.
Fantastic. And then you just bring me on the Levitard show whenever you want. We'll be
great. You'll co-host the show with me. We'll kick Dan out. Carlos right, Pizza. Right. You love it? Carlos Pizza. Greatest pizza in the world. Do you know Carlos?
Who doesn't love Carlos Pizza?
My man. I love you. Listen, not only are we going to co-host this thing, I'm going to hang out at your house, okay?
Let's start with the radio. All right, man.
All right, good luck with season 5, man. Bye. I really love
you
the
later.
Show. We appreciate
Take
the time,
care.
Man.
Stupidity.
All right, that was super enjoyable. Stanzik, Brian Koppelman. I feel like I made a friend. I'm not certain I'll make it to an episode of Billions, but I feel like we are a lot closer than we were about 30 minutes ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm there. I'm close. You know?
Yeah, you're close. Just keep badgering him. Keep pestering him. He'll eventually cave, and he knows a lot about the Knicks. I was very impressed.
Well, it's weird because he was more engaged. He was, seriously, you saw him perk up when we started talking Knicks. He'd rather talk that than talk about his own TV show. So, an exciting day. The creator of one of my favorite TV shows, and now we're going to transition to my new quarterback. This is amazing. I mean, I have Sam Darnold, but who knows if Captain Morgan's going to become my new quarterback here. We will find out. He went to FIU. The Patriots were interested. The Jets were more interested. The Jets went up. Adam Gase drafted Captain Morgan. If he has a first name, I'm not aware of it because I have just called him Captain Morgan. Stanzik, seriously, do we know his first name?
Yeah, I think it's James. Okay. And we know this only because Billy had him on Mystery Crate a few weeks ago and texted him a few times and never heard back from him. And, we got in touch with his people and now he's on Stupidity.
All right. Well, since Billy got him for us, let's bring Guillermo into the discussion. And regardless of what his first name is, you and I are just going to call him Captain, right? That's it?
Yes.
Because that's the greatest nickname in sports ever, right?
I would debate you on that, but it's a good one.
Well, who else you got? Captain Morgan? Say the Captain Morgan. I mean, Captain Morgan.
The more times you say it, it's not going to convince me.
What I'm trying to do. It's my go-to trick. I just keep saying it until you say yes. I mean, Captain Morgan, Captain Morgan, Captain Morgan, Captain Morgan, Captain Morgan, Captain Morgan. Say yes. Captain Morgan, Captain Morgan, Captain Morgan, Captain Morgan, Captain Morgan. Yeah! Let's bring on Captain Morgan.
Stupidity!
You excited about New York? Or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's an awesome, you talk about New York, biggest city in the United States. It's so many opportunities there. It's awesome football city. I'm absolutely thrilled. Going from Miami to New York, it's going to be pretty cool for me, too. Obviously, I'm a small-town guy, but I can't wait, man.
You go Miami to New York, and if you have a long career, eventually you'll work your way back to Miami, Boca, specifically. Gated communities,
that's what
you
do.
Okay?
That's where my girlfriend's from, so I know that area well. So
she's from Boca. Do you feel, by the way, we were laughing. Do you feel like Billy, who also went to FIU, Guillermo, yep. Do you feel like he's stalking you a bit? Because Billy feels like he's stalking you a bit. Because I think Billy feels like he's the only one who's interviewed you over the last week or so. Is that fair, Bill?
I don't know about stalking, but yeah, man, FIU alums, you guys stick together. I actually already got connected with the New York FIU alum base. That was pretty cool. But yeah, man, no, keep them coming. Absolutely.
Billy, do you feel like you're stalking?
Well, this is what I told him because we talked to James. We talked to James for like a week ago. I think we interviewed him, right? And then as soon as he got drafted, I was like, Stugatz, like, this is your new quarterback. Like, I talked to his agent. You could probably get him on if you want. Like, it'll be pretty easy. He's like, oh, great, come on. I'm like, no. Like, I talked to him like a week ago. Like, this is his thing. He's the quarterback now. Like, this is an interview with him. Like, I have nothing to do with this. Like, leave me. I was like, no, come on, come on, buddy. Come on, come on. I'm like, it's weird at this point. Like leave him alone. Like, you got this.
How do you feel about having the coolest nickname, not just in football, but anywhere in the history of sports, I maintain? Captain Morgan. I mean, that is fantastic, man.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's high praise. I mean, I love, yeah, the nickname's awesome. You know, it was pretty cool. I was Jay Money before, and then Captain Morgan kind of when I got the FIU. And, yeah, I definitely like it. I'm going to stick with that for a while.
All right, where did Jay Money come from?
Jay Money was just kind of my thing. In high school, people called me that. And then, you know, when I got to college, that's the FIU, that's kind of the evolution I went to. I like Captain Morgan personally.
Well, that's my dog, Finney. He's a big Jet fan. He's very excited. So,
awesome. Yeah.
So, are you aware of just how crazy your new head coach is? Do you know Adam Gase at all? Like,
just having the ability to talk with him in the pre-draft, you know, interviews, and then on draft day when I actually got drafted, man, I'm thrilled. I think that guy is phenomenal. Obviously, a quarterback developer. Bryn Renner is one of the coaches at FIU. You know, there was a big thing about him. He was the one I sent the email to. And he's worked with Coach Gase before and just his stories and everything, man, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
He's a friend of mine. He's been on this podcast, I don't know, four or five times. So maybe I'll see you on the sidelines of a game. But he did tell us that he was playing. He's invited me. Billy, you're laughing. I haven't taken him up on the offer. Sandy and I have a list of 27 things that I've been invited to do, and all 27 I have not done. One of them is stand on the sidelines with Gase. And I think he said he'd let me call a play if they were winning, right, Sandy?
I think he said he let your daughter call a play in preseason.
That's right. My daughter.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, but
make it all verse, please.
Hopefully James is the quarterback.
Yeah, I'll be in there, so make it all verse.
James, this guy, first off, he's a competitive junkie. He's insane, okay? So just a story he told us. He's playing wiffle ball in the backyard with his kids. And one of his kids hit a home run off of him, and he pimps out a trot. And so I said, what'd you do to your son the next time he came up? He said, I beamed him in the head. So, I mean, that's your new head coach, James, okay?
You gotta love that, man. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
All right, so you're a Packers fan. You have the Favre jersey and the Rodgers jersey. I am not going to ask you what I know everyone has asked you about. I'm not going to do that, okay? I'm simply going to ask
that.
You. You got it. But I will ask you this to put you on the spot. Better quarterback, Favre or Rodgers?
Man, oh, man. See, that's an impossible question to answer. What I always say is you could pick, you know, two better quarterbacks. I mean, those guys are phenomenal. Hall of Famers, obviously. And just both of them with their, you know, Favre gunslinger, Rodgers just like efficiency max, you know, can make every throw quick release. I mean, you could – that's incredible. And as a matter of fact, Favre played for the Jets for a year. That was huge. That was awesome for me. I was, you know, that year I was a huge Jets fan. That was freaking sweet.
So that's interesting. Okay, so you're not gonna go there. You're not gonna say who's better.
I'm not gonna touch that one.
Let's see.
The answer is Rodgers, though. It's Rodgers. Well, I'll say it for you, James. It's fine.
Is it Rodgers?
I don't know.
It's Rodgers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
James, how many teams talked to you? Yeah. Like, did you talk to Belichick? Did you do like a Zoom with him? What is he like on Zoom?
So I didn't talk to him. I talked to their OC and their quarterback coach, and had a good meeting with him. You know, I total probably talked to about 10 teams. You know, more of the serious ones were. There's probably like five or six going into draft day where I really thought, you know, we're looking at the picks that they had. And the Jets were probably the top of that list just because throughout the time with, you know, the combine, I had the only official interview I had was with the Jets. I felt really good with that one. And so, yeah, they were definitely one of my top ones for sure.
Did you have an idea of when they would select you or like how did that kind of go down for you?
So I didn't, you know, my agent had kind of been communicating that stuff with me. I kind of had anticipated around where I was picked, you know, there was possibility of day two. And, you know, some teams were definitely talking about that. And then kind of when it happened, you know, I had some pretty good relations with the Colts and the Cowboys. And so the Jets had, you know, their pick, and then it was like Colts, Cowboys, then Jets again. And so it was kind of, that was a nervous couple of minutes for me before because I was kind of like, okay, I don't know. Like, you know, I really like the Jets and they picked, I believe P. Ryan from Florida. And it's a great pick. Awesome. Going to be fantastic. And then the next two, I was kind of sweating a little bit. And then the Jets came on again. And they actually had another pick at, I think, 129 or, you know, a couple down the road. And so my dad's like, you know, they're probably going to wait till that one if they're going to pick you. And literally, like, right when he said that, the phone rang. It was a New Jersey number. I'm like, let's go. I was so excited.
That is so awesome. So put us there. Who made the call? Was it Gase? Who made the call on the Jets' behalf?
It was GM, Joe Douglas. He made the call, okay. And then he kind of passed the phone around, owner, OC, and so it was kind of went through. And I had to kind of quiet my family down a little bit because they were, you know, as soon as I said, you know, you won't regret this or whatever, everyone started kind of going crazy. I'm like, guys, wait a second.
was the family rowdy? Like, was there drinking going on? What was happening? Party at the house?
Maybe, yeah, maybe my mom or something like that. But, yeah, I my family was there. You know, my girlfriend Hannah had flown out. And then I had a couple buddies who were, like, social distancing outside, and it was really cool. They came up, and they watched it from, like, my patio. But then when I got the call, my mom or whatever, my sister or somebody kind of, like, yelled out loud. So all those guys came down, and then just kind of right when, you know, I said that, everyone started going crazy. It was an awesome moment.
How did it work for you this year? Because in past years, obviously, you get drafted, and you put the hat on or whatever. Did they just send you a ton of hats, or did you have to, like, go to, like, Lids and buy hats? Because you're like, ah, you know, I want to put on a hat, but I don't want
So I think there was, like, a draft package that got sent to a lot of the top guys with a bunch of hats in them. I'm sure that's how it went down. For me, I actually had a bunch of miniature helmets. So I had a mini – actually got it, like, right here. I know you guys don't use audio, but I had a miniature Jets helmet, a miniature helmet of all the 32 teams. But thankfully, because I met with them at the combine, the only hat that I had was a Jets hat. So, you know, it was downstairs just in case. And then when it happened, it was perfect. And I just put it on in the video, and it was a real cool moment.
That is awesome. And so what was the moment like after – so you're now fully aware, hey, I was drafted by an NFL team, man. I'm going to the New York Jets. I'm going to the number one media market in the world. And then you hang up with the Jets. So the emotions between you and dad, you and your family, what were those like?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, they all kind of, like, they were freaking out, and they all kind of, like, tackled me. And then, you know, it shows the selection stuff, so they're all like, hold on, let's watch it. And then when it went across the screen, everyone was going crazy too. So, no, I'm so thankful I got to spend that with my family. And it's a dream come true for me to be in the NFL. And, yeah, I just can't wait to get to work for this great organization. Yeah.
James, what was it like listening to Mel Kiper Jr. and Lewis Riddick and Daniel Jeremiah break down your film and the fit of you with the Jets? What's that experience like?
Yeah, it was very cool. You know, just kind of looking at it a little bit afterwards, you know, because they showed the breakdown of the pick, like you're saying. So I did see that. Usually I stay away from that stuff, but for that one I saw it. And it's cool. I mean, it's definitely cool to, you know, see yourself up there and see some of your throws. And, you know, I try to listen to what people say, but I don't put a lot of, you know, too much credibility. I kind of know what I want to do and kind of my goals. And so you take a little bit of it, but the other stuff you don't really pay too much attention to.
I got to be honest. I've been wearing Kiper, McShay. I've been wearing everyone out since they selected you, trying to get some information on, hey, do I have a quarterback here? Kiper thinks I have a quarterback, Billy. You laugh, but I have been wearing Mel out. Since they took James, I've been wearing him out because I think he had a quarterback. Well, I got Sam. He goes, well, I think he got two quarterbacks. I said, you got two. You don't got one.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, that's what I believe. That's for sure. So I was happy that you shared that mentality.
And listen, I want to teach you about the mentality. Don't go in there assuming you'll be the backup, okay? I don't like that. I want you going in there thinking, hey, Sam, your job's in jeopardy. I might be the starting quarterback. That's the mentality I need you to have, okay?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Kind of my whole thing about it is I'm going to go in and, you know, whatever role they got for me is the role I'm going to do good. Because you got to find value and you got to, you know, make yourself valuable to a team. So, definitely a competitive mentality, absolutely. I mean, like we talked about, I'm a competitor at heart. But whatever role that I can fit for the Jets to help them win games, that's what I'm going to do.
I feel like, Stugatz, you're wishing bad on Sam Darnold just so that you can have James on again and you have, like, access to James. Because then you'll have access to the head coach and the quarterback of your favorite team. So you're like, this Darnold doesn't work out.
No, but Billy, you know how this works. If James does get the starting nod, he becomes a big-time quarterback. His days of speaking to me and you are over. Like, what was speaking to Darnold when that happens? That's how it works. I don't know what I want here. I know what you want, Bill. You want James to be the starter. Listen, I just want a quarterback, all right? I've been alive for years, and I've never seen my team play in the Super Bowl, okay? Like, James, was there any part of you – you're going to say no. Why am I even asking? I'm just like, is there any part of you when you get a call from the Jets and you're like, oh, geez, the Jets?
No, it really wasn't. I know, you know, whatever, cliche and all that stuff. But seriously, they had, you know, I had a great relationship with them from the jump. And I think that's where you want to go, right? You want to go to somewhere where they can utilize your talents, but they believe in you and stuff like that. So, no, I was absolutely thrilled. I saw that New Jersey number, and I'm like, let's go. And hopefully we can change that Super Bowl thing now coming up.
That would be the best if he didn't want to go to the Jets and he wants to go to, like, the Colts. So he just keeps sending it to voicemail, like, James isn't answering. We got to pick somebody else now.
My goodness. Absolutely not.
He's waiting for the Packers to call.
No way.
Throws the Jets the voicemail. That is amazing. What's the coolest call, James, you received since you've been drafted? Like, I know the call is the coolest thing that's happened to you, but have you gotten, like, some random calls since it happened to you from anyone of interest?
Yeah, no, I don't know if I've been getting a lot of different stuff. It's taking a little bit of time to kind of sort through my phone. I've been trying to respond to everybody as much as I can. But probably my old coaches, you know, everyone from FIU reached out to me from Bowling Green. Coach Babers reached out to me. I actually got to get back to him. He left me a nice voicemail. So, no, it's just cool to reconnect with some of those guys. And then you got, like, you know, my grandma's calling me, and she's, like, name-dropping, like, oh, my sister-in-law and my neighbor were saying everything. So that's pretty cool, too. But that was awesome, man. It was a great, great moment, and it was cool to hear from those people.
James, how many texts did you get?
Sanzik, you're such a f***ing dork. He mentions the Syracuse head coach.
I wasn't going there. No, Dino's my guy.
You lit up and you smiled, Stan. Of course it is. Such a dork.
I love Dino. He loves movies, too. Big, big fan. So, James, how many texts did you get, and did you realize that one of them was from Billy?
I did. Maybe didn't realize right away, but as I went back through, I was able to. I probably got something like 230 texts or something like that. Between the platforms, there's a little more too. So, yeah, it took a little while to start through them.
Guillermo, you have a quarterback from your school, from your college, who is playing for my favorite football team. I've known Billy for years now. This is a very exciting moment. Forget about how exciting it is for James. This is exciting for me and you, Bill.
Well, you know what I saw Stugatz over the weekend? So I think there's only four teams in the past, like, 5 years that have had two quarterbacks drafted. And one of them is FIU. The other one's, like, Wisconsin and something else. And it may have been, like, the last 4 years or something, but there's only four schools that have had two quarterbacks drafted. So it seems like FIU has become a quarterback factory.
Quarterback you.
Yeah, it has. And I was able to work with Magoo training and stuff like that in this offseason. So that's really cool. If you kind of group with that, it's awesome.
That is amazing. Captain Morgan with us here on Stupidity. I am so happy to be able to say that. I'm wondering, so you went to the you did the East-West Shrine Game, correct? And I think that's where people really started to take notice. But then you went to the Combine, and I'm wondering, as you're going through that process, James, what is the dumbest question, the oddest question that was asked of you throughout your time at the Combine? Do you have one?
Dumbest question.
Where it's just like, hey, why are you asking me this? And it has no effect on whether or not I'll be a good
player. One team did, like, a personality thing where they were like, you know, I'm going to give you words, and then what do you associate with them?
Right.
And one of the words was super random, and I can't even remember what it was, but it might have been something like, geez, what was it? It was, I thought he said winning, and I think he said women. So it was like, my girlfriend, and then he said wine. I'm like, wine, what are you talking, and I said, like, a cheap bottle of wine from the gas station. So like, I wasn't really sure where he was going with that, but it, like, I guess word association, that was probably one of the ones that I was a little bit like, I'm not sure exactly what you're trying to get here with an NFL, you know, trap question.
Did you get a call from Darnold, by the way?
He sent me a text, which is very kind of him, and, you know, reached out and stuff like that. And, yeah, man, excited to be his teammate.
He's scared.
He responded to that one, Billy.
he knows. He's trying to get on good terms with you so you don't come in and embarrass him right away.
I don't know about all that.
So, again, listen, this is very important, okay? I want you to not go in with, hey, you know, Sam. Sam hasn't accomplished enough for you to say, hey, I'm just going to be the backup, okay? You need to go in with a starter's mentality. We need a quarterback, okay? You don't need the baddest, Sam. You're not Tom Brady here, okay? Sam Darnold, all right?
I appreciate that mentality. You know, like I said, whatever role I find on the team, that's what I'm going to do great at.
All right, we're going to – why? What, you guys are shaking your head. Look, I'm not trying to stir up a quarterback controversy.
You've said the same thing like eight times. James isn't taking the bait. He's going to go in there and be a great teammate.
It doesn't matter.
You're trying to start something between him and Darnold.
No. Listen, this is a competition, okay? And when you're 47 years old and you've never seen your team play in a Super Bowl, I've never seen them play in a Super Bowl, okay? You don't care who your quarterback is. You just want the best. And I want them to have the mentality that, hey, the job's open. It might be mine. I believe them.
He has the mentality, but he can't say on a podcast, I'm coming for Darnold.
No. Billy, you're with me, right? I think you can't say that on a podcast.
Well, you don't. No, look, like you definitely don't say it on the podcast. And we're not saying like sabotage him. Maybe just kind of hug him like harder on the side where his spleen is, and like give him like a little tap or something like that. You know?
You guys are trying to get me in trouble now, huh?
Captain Morgan with us here on Stupidity. All right, I'm going to do some fill in the blanks. I'm going to allow people to get to know the new Jets quarterback very quickly, and then we'll get you out of here, okay?
Sure, let's do it.
All right. Quarterback that reminds you of you the most is blank.
Brett Favre. I mean, just got to out pop the head, got to do it.
Yeah. I got a gunslinger stance. Very exciting. Favorite TV show is blank.
Game of Thrones.
What's current favorite TV show is?
Until the 8th season. Couldn't do it. Just watched Tiger King. That was pretty good.
Oh, we love that. I mean, we obsessed about that for a good week. Are you into this Jordan doc or what's going on there?
No, I need to see that. My brother's a huge basketball player, and he's been, like, boxing everybody out from watching it. And I just haven't had a chance to stop visiting him. I'm going to binge the whole thing as soon as it gets done. Absolutely.
All right, you've been busy getting to the NFL. Favorite TV show is blank.
Just asked that. It's pretty weird.
Oh, I'm sorry. Favorite movie, I'm sorry, is blank.
Favorite movie, Christopher Nolan, Inception.
Wow, same. Good answer, James.
Yeah, that's your favorite movie?
Yeah, I mean, it's my favorite since 2000.
My guy. Yep.
Yeah.
Bill, did you watch that movie? Because I have watched it now 5 times. I still have no idea what happened in that movie.
Love it.
That's too long. It looks too long.
I just got – have you ever watched Die Hard? I forget. I'm so old.
Back in the day. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so what I'm doing is I'm having Billy watch movies from when I was growing up as a kid. He doesn't believe that they're any good. And then I had him watch Die Hard. Now he loves the entire series. And I think, what was it, Billy? What are you watching now? Was it Tango and Cash? What did I ask you to watch over the weekend?
Tango and Cash, I saw the preview and I was like, I don't know about this. The one we talked about was Lethal Weapon. I haven't seen any of the Lethal Weapons yet. But Predator I watched, and Predator I didn't like as much as Die Hard.
The original one?
Yeah, the original one. Because I was watching it and I was like, this just seems like a little much. What's going on? Like, this thing has like this infrared vision or whatever, but it can't see you if you put mud on you. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Favorite meal is blank.
Steak.
Really? What kind of steak?
I'm a big T-bone guy, medium rare.
All right. Favorite steakhouse in Miami is blank.
Well, okay. We always went to Texas Day Brazil as part of the FIU team, and they had like kind of like a all you can eat, you know. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but you basically flip your card if you want the meal. Yeah. So that one was my favorite because I could just keep getting the steak over and over.
Favorite band is blank.
Ooh, band. I was a big Eminem fan back in the day. I don't know if that necessarily counts as a band. I don't know. Works. I'll go the Beatles. Sure. What the heck? Classic.
Man, you got an old soul, don't you? You watch all the old movies. You like the Beatles. I mean, that's you got an old soul, man. Favorite Beatles song, what do you got?
Let It Be.
Nice. Last book you read was blank. I've never read a book, but I'm interested in the last
book
you
read.
Yeah.
What's it called? And Then There Were None by Agatha Christie. Murder Mystery. Wow.
Old soul is right. My God.
Yeah. Is it also? You like anything modern? Or
yeah.
The quarterback that reminds you the most of you. Joe Namath.
That's what I should do, yep.
Listen, we're super happy for you, okay, man? I'm excited to have you as the new Jets quarterback. We'll see how it shakes out for you. But it's a great story, man. Anytime a local guy from down here where we're from, especially where Billy went to school, does well, gets himself to the NFL as a quarterback for my team, which has never happened before. But anytime anyone locally does good here, we're super happy for that. So congratulations to you, man.
Hey, man, I really appreciate that. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, now, listen, when you make it big and you take Sam's job, don't forget about me and Billy, okay?
Mm-hmm. Believe you guys told me that the last time, and I don't know about that still. I don't know about the big time stuff. All
right. Well, I am telling you, don't forget about us, because I sense big things happening for you in New York. I really, I don't know why, I just do. Maybe Maybe it's because, 47 years of misery.
So, it's
because
he's talking to you is why you censored for him.
I do as well. I'm excited about him. Do everything I can, work as hard as I can. Let's make some stuff happen.
All right. And I'll see you at the game where my daughter, hopefully you'll be in and she'll call a play for you. Okay.
Remember, all verticals. Let's go. Okay. We got a deep threat here. Come on. Let's go.
All right, man. Hey, congratulations. Seriously. Good luck to you. Enjoy everything, man. This is a great time. You're going to have to put that law degree on hold, huh?
I will. I may have no problem doing that. I can go down the road.
All right, man. Congratulations. I am so excited. I have a man named Captain Morgan on my team. This is amazing.
Let's go. Yep.
All right. First start into the game. Captain Morgan on me, okay? Me, you, and Billy. Go out for a little Captain Morgan, all right?
Awesome. All
right. Thanks, Billy. James.
Billy,
appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, James. Good luck.
Yep, take care.
Okay. You too. Billy will call you in a day or so.
Stu Gods, I love it. One of the things that is always comical to me is you say goodbye to people for like 8 minutes.
Yep, that's why the podcast is so good. Listen, here's my philosophy on this podcast.
He was like, am I done with this damn
thing? He had his hand so on. Out. Yeah.
Here's my philosophy on the podcast, Billy. Whether they want to keep talking or not, I keep them talking because you never know what the f*** is going to happen. And the more you keep talking and the more they're trying to get away, they might finally, out of exhaustion, and because they want to get the f*** off the phone with you, they might actually say something, give you something, and then you can let them go. How about that? It's my philosophy.
We've been doing this for over a year. Not once has anyone said anything in your parade of goodbyes.
I was just going to ask what the success rate on that is because they seem more annoyed than anything.
It's my specialty, annoying you.
I think the highlight of that interview for me was, what's your favorite TV show, followed up with, what's your favorite TV show?
It was actually three in a row because he said Game of Thrones. So then he said, what's your favorite current TV show? Then he went back to, what's your favorite TV show?
Both you guys are assholes. Thank you to Brian Koppelman, who every Sunday night provides me with a win. Thanks to Captain Morgan, whose team, the New York Jets, every Sunday provides me with a loss. Stupidity!